With the recent passage of the latest federal farm bill, a long-standing debate continues to divide the agriculture community. Government subsidies for farmers date back to the Great Depression. President Roosevelt created those federal programs with the aim at helping a struggling yet critical American industry. Some farmers today still receive government subsidies, a practice met both with vocal supporters and opponents. United States Department of Agriculture data show that a majority of farm subsidies go to commercial farms or large operations. According to the data, in 2009, rural and intermediate farms each received 19% of subsidies, while commercial farms received 62%. The debate also comes at a time when the USDA is forecasting annual net farm incomes to remain high. Net farm income is expected to be around $91.7 billion in 2012, down $6.3 billion from last year. This leads critics to call for reforms to farm subsidy programs. Don Carr is the senior advisor for the Environmental Working Group. He says subsidies going to large corporations are hurting rural America.
It enables the large operations to amass even more capital, and they do this using taxpayer dollars. So, for example, when one of their smaller neighbors puts their farm up for sale, you know, these large operations are able to buy up those small farmers and you get even bigger. And so you've seen a lot of consolidation in rural America and a consolidation in the agricultural sector. And these farm subsidies, we can actually track how they've helped accelerate a lot of folks leaving rural America.
Other critics see an issue with the lack of free market principles. Francis Smith is an adjunct fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Smith says subsidies provide the wrong incentives to farmers.
The payments go to many, many large producers, and it provides incentives for them to produce more of a crop instead of essentially looking at what the market provides, what the market signals are.
However, supporters of farm subsidies see the idea of farm size as a non-issue. Dale Moore is Deputy Executive Director for the American Farm Bureau Federation's Public Policy Division. He claims there is no favoritism in granting subsidies based on the size of a farm or the type of crop that is grown.
All of these programs, we believe, help focus on those that are producing the food and fiber, that we don't make it a distinction between small farmers, large farmers, type of farming that you do, whether it's organic farming, conventional farming, high-tech, biotech farming. The fact is that we want our farmers of all types, all sizes, to be able to protect against risk. And simply because a farmer may be larger than the average farmer shouldn't disqualify him or her from being able to protect those risks.
A push is being made away from traditional farm subsidies and towards new crop insurance programs. Jay Lehrer is science director for the Heartland Institute. He says some type of safety net is needed for farmers.
Many of the subsidies in past years were misdirected and unnecessary. So there is a need for a safety net, probably a good crop insurance subsidy to protect the farmers from total loss of crop with bad weather and just kind of give them an opportunity for at least a basic income in bad years.
At a time when talks of reducing federal deficits are common, supporters of subsidies are hoping to hang on to crop insurance programs. In fact, Moore says he would like to see a strengthening of such programs.
If we are going to take away the so-called income support type programs like direct payments, like the countercyclical payments and so on, we understand that that's a move, that's a policy move. The government is making that decision. Our only hope is that in the process of doing that, they strengthen programs like crop insurance.
Although critics oppose government payouts for subsidies, some are suggesting alternatives. Smith says the government should look for answers in the private sector.
If the government didn't offer to pay for all the insurers' administrative costs, perhaps we'd get some sort of private crop insurance that would arise as a viable part of the system.
Crop insurance has detractors as well. Carr says this approach leads to large impacts on local environments.
They remove a lot of the risk from farmers, and they encourage them to overplant and go to fence row to fence row planting of very land and chemical intensive crops like corn, which needs chemical fertilizers and a lot of pesticides to grow at the volume these farmers want to grow to make money. So the impact on the environment is spurred and accelerated by federal policy is quite severe.
But crop insurance backers say it's needed for stability. Lehrer says that consumers also benefit from low food costs.
It works to the benefit of the whole public of keeping our food costs low, because if farmers went out of business because of dramatic weather impacts, it would raise the cost of food for all of the American public.
This is Adam Albrecht of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.